From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Sujit Indap, and this is FT News. So this week, we've seen a lot of volatility in the financial markets, stock market, bond markets, depressing economic news. But something else has caught the attention of worried investors around the world, and this is what's going on with shipping. Joining me to discuss what's happening in shipping is Robert Wright, the U.S. industry correspondent. Robert, good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
So The concern about shipping really took off with the earnings announcement from a company called Maersk. Can you tell us what Maersk is, what it does, its relevance, and then what happened with its earnings this week?
So Maersk is operates the world's biggest container shipping line called Maersk Line. And really what's got people's attention is that Maersk has been saying that the business conditions it's experiencing are as bad, are worse than following the financial crisis in 2008. So this has got everybody panicking about whether this is a leading indicator that the world is about to turn upside down in the way it did a few years ago.
And so one of the issues that they're dealing with is China. So what's going on in China that's roiling the shipping industry?
It's probably worth making the point at this point that there isn't really one shipping industry. There are a number of different sectors that are experiencing
right.
Different conditions.
So we start with ships or vessels. Let's go with that submarket first.
With Maersk, the issue is that they operate container ships, which
right.
are the big difference between them and some of the other types of ships is it's like operating an airline. You say when the ship's going to go, and you sell spaces on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
What the problems that Maersk have in common with the dry bulk sector, which I think we're going to come on to in a moment, is that basically people decided that the way to make money in container shipping was to build very big new ships. And they did that on the basis that China's economy was going to keep growing at the kind of really rapid rate it did for a few years until recently. With the slowdown in China, with the softness in world economic demand, suddenly those ships are sailing only about 70%.
And so we're talking about commodities then, is that right?
This is container ships.
Okay.
So on container ships, they're sailing only about 70% full. And the basic economics of that are if you've got empty space, you're desperate to fill it. So rates per container are falling. And that is really what's hurting companies like Maersk. The thing that's really worth remembering about companies like Maersk, and the reason I've been keen to write about this to make the point, is that trade is not actually declining at the moment. Maersk experienced growth of between 0 and 1% last year, but it was
right.
still growth. They're expecting growth of between about 1% and 3% this year. So the trade is still growing. The problem is not really the demand. The problem here in container shipping, at least, is at least partly the supply of ships. There are just too many ships. There's too much capacity in that.
And where do those ships come from? Where does that capacity really, the explosion in capacity come from?
Well, it's really just come from the fact that there were these shipyards with all this spare capacity after the financial crisis, and they persuaded people to build new ships and persuaded them that much, much bigger ships were a good idea. The size of ships, the size of the biggest container ships has roughly doubled in the last 10
years. So the challenge is you're building these ships, they have a lot of lead time, and so you're really making guesses on where the economy will be 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
That you've absolutely hit on one of the key points in shipping economics 101 there. But when you're building a ship, it takes 2 or 3 years to deliver. You're making a guess about future demand, and a lot of people have made really bad guesses about future demand over the last few years.
Let's talk about some of these other segments within shipping that are important to know. So what else would you highlight right now?
Well, so the sector that often gets a lot of attention, as people call it a bellwether, is dry bulk, which is operating ships that carry things like typically coal and iron ore are the biggest single commodities for them. And that market is going through a really shocking crisis at the moment. The Baltic Dry Index, which is a fairly widely watched index, which measures rates for dry bulk ships, is now at the lowest level it has ever been since it started in 1985.
So below where it was in the financial crisis.
Way below where it was in the financial crisis. And in fact, every day this year, it has been either down or flat. So pretty much every day this year, it has set a new record low. So this, and what's happening there is that market has been down for so long that ship owners are really just beginning to run out of money. They're beginning to run out of options there. But the key thing there, again, I think, is that there's such a huge supply of ships. The fleet is going to grow by about 4% this year, and trade growth is flat. And really, the issue is just, again, way too many ships out there.
Got it. And so let's talk about a couple of other subcategories. Railroads, those are very highly watched here in North America.
Yeah, the railroads really explain an awful lot about what's going on in the US and by extension, the world economy, I think. Because what you can see there, there have been some very big declines in railroad earnings. And there's some very, very eye-catching declines in things like coal. For instance, coal for Union Pacific in the fourth quarter last year was 30% down year on year. Iron ore was down very sharply for them as well. And it's tempting when you see the headline figures to think that there's a huge catastrophe unfolding here. But actually, when you dig into a bit more detail in the figures, you see that the effect is pretty confined to coal and iron ore. There's probably ultimately some weakness in movements of containers as well. But, you know, a lot of other things are actually doing reasonably okay. Cars are continuing to do pretty well for the railroads. So, you know, it's by no means the kind of wholesale economic catastrophe one might conclude just looking at railroad earnings.
And so in your story, you also have some very interesting observations about air freight and what's happening there and what it could imply for the economy.
Air freight is something that probably should really worry people, because the interesting thing about air freight is that when you're worried about the strength of demand, one of the quickest things you can do to try to stem the problems is to start moving your goods from somewhere like Asia to North America by sea instead of air. So you tend to see fall-offs in air freight before other things fall off. And there are some signs at the moment that air freight growth is lagging world trade growth, which does look a little bit like a leading indicator to me.
What are the one or two things we should be watching in shipping over the next month or two as an indicator of a real global economic slowdown?
Well, I think if you start seeing real fall-offs in volumes in things like container shipping, that is going to be a bad sign. At the moment, trade is still growing, and the problem, I think, remains one of supply. But if you see if you start seeing real fall-offs in volumes, that's going to be a worry. With the Baltic Dry Index, I think probably the main lesson about that is it's kind of not worth watching at the moment, because it's essentially become meaningless.
It's amazing because everyone watches it and likes to cite it, and it seems to be misleading.
Right. Well, this is if there's a key learning that I want people to take away from this, it is don't watch the Baltic Dry Index at the moment, because the oversupply of ships is such that there's almost no level of volume that could come along that would actually get the Baltic Dry Index moving.
Very interesting observation. Robert Wright, U.S. industry correspondent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.